I read that your father had discouraged your activism because he feared for your safety. So what made you determined to continue despite clearly very deadly threats?
You know, I was enmeshed in it. It was a part of me. It was a part of who I was. And I certainly think that I was a part of what we call the Emmett Till generation. That was the motivating factor, and that was the thing that began to make me conscious. And the more conscious I got, the more involved I wanted to become. And so that was a good experience. That was the work I tried to do to help change America, to make it more inclusive and to fight for justice, democracy, and peace. Those were the objectives of us in the movement, and try to build community and work on identity in the African-American community. So I was there for Black Power. I was there for the anti-war movement. I was there when Dr. King read his first speech in Atlanta, in Ebenezer, his home church, when he released the anti-war position of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. So we had an opportunity as very young people to step onto the pages of history. I started out at about 16 years old. I just saw it as something that I could do and felt good about doing it, and just wanted to make amends for Emmett Till's sacrifice and try to change the world to make it a better place for all of humanity.
I want to turn to your son, Bakari. How do you see the issues your father fought for reverberating into today and in this new generation?
I like to say that 1968, when we had the Orangeburg Massacre, we had the assassination of Kennedy and King, wasn't that far or that long ago. I think the tragedy lies in the fact that my father and I, although we're 40 years apart, share many of the same experiences, whether or not he's talking about Emmett Till or I'm talking about Mike Brown or Eric Garner or Walter Scott. And so, you know, we still are on this path of justice, and we've made a lot of progress, but we still have yet a ways to go.
So you were elected to the state legislature in South Carolina.
Correct.
And now you're also an attorney. How did your father's work influence where you decided to go with your life?
My father and mother both taught all of us that we could be anything we wanted to be in this entire world, but we had to be change agents. We are children of the movement, but you feel as if you're born into this kind of fight for justice, et cetera. And so he, of course, is my hero, but it's very difficult to set out to live up to that per se. And so I just do everything I can in my daily tasks to make sure that I'm living for others.
How would you like to impart these lessons to a new generation of activists and students who will be attending this conference?
I don't think I'm there to necessarily impart, you know, any wisdom to my peers. I think one of the things and one of the reasons I'm there is to let them know that, you know, we're on this battlefield together and we're going to make mistakes. But as long as our heart is pure and our motive is just, we're going to make sure that the generations that come behind us don't suffer from the same inequalities we see on a daily basis. You know, whether or not you're gay, straight, documented or not, we're fighting a fight for all of us. And so, you know, hopefully my peers are rejuvenated. I know that I get strength from them. Hopefully they get some strength from me, because this battle in Trump's America is not getting any easier.
Given the heightened tensions right now in our country, the violence in Charlottesville, the massacre in your own state, the Black churchgoers 2 years ago, have we moved backward in terms of race in this country?
No, I refuse to let us move backwards. I'm just concerned about the fact that we're not making progress at a fast enough pace. I mean, I think that King said it best. I mean, that, you know, it was a check mark, insufficient funds. And we're still trying to get those trappings that are promised to us under the Constitution.
Well, this last question is for both of you. Where do you find hope, and what do you want young people and others to take away from this conference and from your talks?
Well, I'll go first because my daddy talks a lot. So I find hope in my little girl. She's 12 years old. And so there's a lot of life for her to live. And there are a lot of challenges for me to face and barriers that I need to knock down. So just as my father did for me, so that we would have all the opportunity in the world. You know, there's a lot of ignorance in the world, but I want to make sure that she's prepared to go out and and face it head on. And so that's where my hope comes from.
What about you, Cleveland?
Well, I think the hope lies in young people. And I have to remember and recognize that I was a youngster when I had older adults who encouraged me to be essentially a change agent and go out and take on this fight. I think that it becomes very clear that America is on the cutting edge of deciding whether or not it wants to embrace the old racism, the old misogyny, the all those things that we have at least highlighted. But I think that the election has been the kind of election of the president that will highlight what happens when you allow someone who is the prophet of that kind of white nationalism and that kind of racism and that kind of subjugation to become your president. And so I think that people will begin to step up and we'll see more Americans kind of come together, rally together for us to not turn the hands of the clock back, but to move forward. And it's all about young people and their hope and aspirations. And I see more and more of that kind of emanating from efforts like Black Lives Matter and just students in the colleges and universities to begin to really talk about the importance of education and history. And I just feel good about being on the right side of history. And I want to encourage all of those who are interested in having the kind of America that we talked about. And so I'll continue to have that faith in that next generation. Certainly, I believe, like some of my folk in the 40s and 50s, that there would be someone coming along to step onto the pages of history.
That was Cleveland Sellers and his son, Bakari Sellers. They'll be the keynote speakers at the Black Cultural Conference, September 21st through the 23rd, on the UNM campus. The theme is Mobilizing the Black Millennial Legacy. The conference is being organized by the African American Student Services Center. Brandy Stone is Program Services Specialist with the center.
As we move forward in higher education and we look to how best to serve our new students, we had to have a real conversation about what does it mean to be a millennial right now? What does it mean for Black millennials attending higher education and what legacy are they leaving? And moreover, how do we support them through this? So our tracks are focused on social justice, health, leadership, and professional development. A few of our highlight tracks that I know our students are really interested in. We have Bundles, Braids, and Edges Laid, which is a student conversation about natural hair and how that fits into the movement. Student identity and dualism of a Black student athlete. How to navigate Hispanic-serving institutions as a Black student, as well as a few others focus on entitlement for Black millennials. And what does that mean for Black millennials? Are we entitled or is it the larger white population and are we missing that form of entitlement?
Why did you want to bring the Sellers to be the keynote speakers?
Well, I think there's so much history behind them, but to have a father-son duo that is so deeply rooted in civil rights that can talk on both generations, the civil rights generation and this millennial generation, is important because I think sometimes we forget to acknowledge the past, but also sometimes as younger students, I think we get a little bit frustrated about, well, nobody's helping us. And so having a dynamic conversation with both sides, really talking about how we move forward, is important. We have a lot of students right now that are trying to figure out what does that mean for me to get involved and how do I do that? And is that through social media? Is that on the ground? Is that through my work professionally? How do I move forward for that next generation?
Brandy Stone with the African American Student Services Center, thank you so much. Thanks to my guests this month on University Showcase, Cleveland and Bakari Sellers, as well as Brandy Stone with the African American Student Services Center. You can hear this show again and find more information about the Black Cultural Conference at our website, kunm.org. And while you're there, click the donate button to keep programming like this on the air. You can also call in with a contribution. Here's the number,